are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Happy Easter, friends. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Easter season, and we are continuing our series on learning and living resurrection. Resurrection is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday when we proclaim the good news that Jesus has been raised from the dead by the power of God after being killed by the political and religious authorities of the day. Now, in the season of Easter, we're reflecting on what Easter is all about. And regardless of your understanding of the history of Jesus' resurrection, the season of Easter is a time for us who call ourselves Christians to be welcoming resurrection and new life and second chances and forgiveness and be thinking about how to live as new people. So we're journeying forward with this series that we've had. This is our calling, our task to be resurrection people. And over these weeks, we're looking at different themes of resurrection through the lens of the book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament that tells the story of the early church. So in previous weeks, you've heard about how resurrection means that we're part of God's kingdom, God's new reality, God's ways of justice and righteousness. You've heard about how resurrection means change, changing our minds, changing our paths, following Jesus' call to repent, to turn around. You've heard about how resurrection means being awake and alert and alive to the things that God is doing in us and in the world around us. And you've heard about how resurrection means being together in community, about coming together as God's people. Well, today our focus is on inclusion, looking at how resurrection means a radical sense of inclusion, of tearing down the walls that separate us one from another. Sadly, we humans are really good at building walls. Robert Frost's poem, Mending Wall, begins with the line, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall." The poem then goes to delightfully talk about the speaker and the neighbor who are rebuilding the wall between their properties, while the speaker ponders the need for a wall, recognizing that in this particular case, the wall isn't really necessary, but there seems to be a desire for those walls. That reflects our human inclination, I think, to build walls between one another. We sadly have built wall after wall, separating ourselves from one another, excluding people for all sorts of reasons. Well, in Acts chapter 10, our reading for today, we learn of an encounter between a Gentile Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius and between Jewish Christian apostle Peter. Now, Peter, according to the law, was forbidden to go to the house of a Gentile, of an outsider. It was excluded, so to speak. But God spoke to Peter and called them together. And from this encounter and from the word of God, Peter learns a new and deeper sense of God's inclusive love, God's wall-breaking love, if you will. Listen now for God's word from Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. I want to tell you about a young man named Ronnie. Ronnie was part of a church that I served a long time ago. He was a young adult with lots of enthusiasm and a kind heart, and Ronnie had Down's syndrome. Shortly after I arrived at the church, I moved into a small home, and Ronnie and his family lived right down the street. So one time I saw Ronnie and I said, "Hello, neighbor." He got a big smile on his face and he said, "Hello, neighbor." And after that, I don't think he ever called me Pastor Charlie again. Anytime he saw me, he said, "Hello, neighbor," with a big smile on his face. And if somebody else was around, he would point at me and say, "He's my neighbor." He was a good-hearted young man. Ronnie had a strong faith, and he was part of that church community, a vibrant part of that church community. He was in worship regularly, and he would sing. He would sing with gusto. He would sing a little bit off-key, you know, says the pastor who sings regularly off-key. But he would sing loud. Sometimes visitors would kind of turn their head and look, and we would just smile, grateful that Ronnie was part of that church family. Ronnie was one of three or four young adults with Down syndrome who were part of an adult Sunday school class. The church called it the special needs class, I think. I wasn't wild about the name, but the intention was great, bringing these young people together for a time of Bible study and fellowship and prayer, bringing together people who too often were ignored, overlooked, forgotten, excluded. That church made them feel welcome. That church made them feel included. Now, the church wasn't perfect. No church is. But I applaud that long-term effort to use limited volunteer resources on a relatively small group of people to show the message of inclusion that Jesus came to bring. This message of inclusion is a vital part of the gospel. It's at the core of who Jesus was. He came with a ministry that was radically inclusive and kind of turned things upside down right from the beginning. We hear it in Mary's song, even before Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 1, we hear that God is going to bring the powerful down and lift up the hungry and fill them with good things. Jesus began his ministry by proclaiming good news for the poor and recovery of sight for the blind, people who had traditionally been excluded and forgotten. He continued his ministry by having meals and healing and teaching and spending time with more people who had been forgotten, the foreigners, the women, the sick, the outcast, the poor people. All of them were made to feel included. The walls were torn down by Jesus' words and his deeds. Those first followers of Jesus were trying to learn to do what Jesus did, but it took a while. Peter was certainly one of the central followers, but he was also a rule follower, and he knew the letter of the law. And according to the book, if you were Jewish, you had to have certain cleanliness boundaries. So Peter was concerned about those people who might be unclean, those people who should be excluded. We see that in Acts chapter 10, but we see how God flips Peter's understanding of inclusion and exclusion upside down, telling him about God's inclusive love. Peter realizes this and makes that claim at the beginning of our reading today that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. That's the core of our message today. And that leads to Acts chapter 15 with the Jerusalem Council, a major step for the church where the doors were open to include even more people, pushing those boundaries outward. Now, sadly, over the 2,000-year history of the Christian church, we've done a pretty good job of circling the wagons and excluding those who really should be included, excluding those people, whoever those people might be. For hundreds of years, too many white Christians thought they were doing God's will by denying citizenship and humanity to blacks and to Native Americans. For hundreds of years, too many white male Christians thought they were doing God's will by keeping women quiet and subservient in the church and in society. For hundreds of years, too many Bible-reading Christians thought they were doing God's will when they took a few verses very literally and excluded and dehumanized lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. We are slowly learning the lesson that God shows no partiality. and that God welcomes all people. In our day and age, we're learning that even as we speak, as we learn about transgender and non-binary people. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm learning as we go, but I'm grateful for the long history of the church that pushes us to keep learning, to keep welcoming, to keep including, to keep tearing down the walls that divide us. I'm grateful for the history of the Presbyterian Church, which has done many good things in terms of moving the walls and tearing down those walls and trying to be more actively inclusive. There's a wonderful statement in the Presbyterian Church called A Brief Statement of Faith, and the language in there is inviting and inclusive. Part of the statement reads, "In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray, to witness, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace." I love that line about hearing the voices of people long silenced. It seems like pure gospel to me. It seems exactly what the sort of thing that Jesus did by welcoming people, by including people, and the message that Peter got about God not showing partiality. So we have to be intentional about listening for those voices that have been silenced, that have been excluded. Throughout the Bible, if we choose to see it and hear it, there is a strong message of God's inclusive love, of God not showing partiality. John chapter 3, verse 16 is one of the best known verses in Scripture, and it says, "For God so loved the world." It doesn't say, "For God so loved the Presbyterians," or "God so loved the Christians," or "God so loved the white male landowners," or "God so loved the people from Wisconsin." It's "God so loved the world." God's love is bigger than our boundaries and our walls. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "There's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." And then in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we read, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hand. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who's seated on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's all the nations, all the people coming together. And of course, we remember the message of Jesus, the core message of Jesus, the commandment to love one another, to love our neighbors, to even love our enemies. God's love is for everyone. God shows no partiality. In our world today, we struggle with that. We're not very good at taking the message of Jesus's love for everyone or no partiality to heart. We continue to divide from one another, and in this COVID era, it certainly hasn't helped. Journalist and author Fareed Zakaria has written a fascinating book called 10 Lessons for a Post-Pandemic World. And in the course of these lessons, he highlights the challenges that we face in our world today. He talks about inefficient government, the devaluing of expertise, the growing problem of inequality, the increasing tension between the U.S. and China, and more. The book is a somber but yet ultimately hopeful look at who we are as a people and where we are as a people and where we might go. And he ends the book with a conclusion, with a call to, in essence, tear down the walls that divide us and to cooperate and to work together. He writes, "If people cooperate, they will achieve better outcomes and more durable solutions than they could acting alone. If nations can avoid war, their people will lead longer and richer and more secure lives. If they become intertwined economically, everyone ends up better off. It is not a flight of fancy to believe that cooperation can change the world. It is common sense." The good news of Easter is resurrection and new life. The good news of Easter is that God forgives sin and gives us second chances. The good news of Easter is that God shows no partiality and that God's love is for everyone. So that means that each and every one of us, you and you and you and you and you and me too, we are all beloved children of God. Sometimes we forget that the good news is for us, that we are included in God's love. So I hope you know that you are a beloved child of God. And because of that, when that love takes root in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our church, we're better able to welcome the inclusive love of God for all people. This is a message we hear again and again, that God loves us so we can love one another. We hear it again and again because we forget again and again, and we keep building up those walls. What helps me to hear the message afresh sometimes is by looking at different scripture translations of the message of the Bible. You've heard it read from the New Revised Standard Version, where Peter says, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." I've heard that verse 100 times. I know it pretty well. So I looked at a different translation of the Bible over the past week or so. The Common English Bible puts those same words just a little bit differently. Instead of saying, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality," the Common English Bible says, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality." Friends, may we keep learning about God's impartial and strong love. May we keep living God's impartial and strong love for the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.